Hello, listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo visits tsunami victims in Lampung. 60 National Police Mobile Brigade personnel deployed to hunt down terrorist group. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail, I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo visited Lampung on Wednesday, January the 2nd. The president came to inspect the mitigation activities in the aftermath of the Sunda Strait tsunami that affected the area. The president left Jakarta this morning at around 8:30 and arrived at Radin Intan 2 airport and an hour later. President Widodo and his team immediately left for Kunjir village in Raja Basa, South Lampung, which is damaged by the tsunami on Saturday night, December 22nd. President Joko Widodo will also review the tsunami relief in Wai Muli village and then meet evacuees in the indoor tennis building in Kalianda, South Lampung. The president is accompanied by, among others, Health Minister Nila Farid Moluk, Presidential Chief of Staff Muldoko, Social Affairs Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita, and Public Works Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadimulyono. The Sunda Strait tsunami killed 437 and injured more than 7,000. Nearly 35,000 people are displaced from their homes. The tsunami also struck a number of regencies in Banten. Some 60 personnel of the National Police Mobile Brigade, BRIMOB, have been deployed to assist Parigi Mutong District Police in Central Sulawesi Province in hunting down the East Indonesia Mujahideen MIT terrorist group led by Ali Kalora. Right now, the Tinombala Task Force of the Central Sulawesi Provincial Police is still looking out for the group, led by Ali Kalora and his colleagues. Chief of the Public Information Bureau of the National Police, Dedi Prasetyo, sat in Jakarta on Wednesday. The hunt came after the group shot two police officers who were removing the body of a murdered victim in Salubose Hamlet, Parigi Mutong District, Central Sulawesi. The 60 BRIMO personnel belonging to Tinombala Task Force in Central Sulawesi Provincial Police were tasked with hunting down the remaining members of the Poso terrorist group after security personnel shot dead its old leader, Santoso. Chief Brigadier Andrew Mahaputra and 2nd Brigadier, who suffered shotgun wounds, have gradually recovered after they underwent a surgery at Bayangkara Police Hospital in Palu. The Ali Kalora-led group shot the two police officers who were removing the body of the murder victim in Salubanga village, Central Sulawesi, on Monday. State-owned oil and gas holding company PT Pertamina would, by the end of this year, have established 123 one-price fuel stations, a government program to provide fuel to remote regions at prices similar to what are charged in Jakarta. Pertamina Vice President Corporate Communications Adiatma Sarjito said in Jakarta that the number exceeded the targets set by the government. The fuel stations were opened in frontier, outmost, and least developed regions, known as Terdepan, Terluar, and Tertinggal 3T areas in Sumatra, Java, Bali, Kalimantan, Sulawesi, Nusa Tenggara, Maluku, and Papua. Pertamina transported the fuel using various modes of transportation like trucks, ships, small boats, and airplanes. Before the fuel stations were opened, fuel prices in remote areas in Papua, for example, could reach 100,000 rupiahs or about $6.93 per liter. Fuel in the new stations cost 6,450 per liter for subsidized premium branded gasoline and 5,150 rupees per liter for subsidized solar branded diesel fuel. PT Pertamina EP, an upstream business subsidiary of state-owned oil and gas holding company Pertamina, has announced that the company has started drilling at the new oil and gas field radius meter 001 or RDM 001 in Langkat Regency, North Sumatra. Pertamina EP Exploration and Discovery Project Director Ahmad Alfian Hussein said the company aimed to reach a depth of 2,125 meters with a production target of 10.8 million barrels of oil and 62.8 billion cubic feet of natural gas, or 22 million barrels of oil equivalent. Alfian estimated the exploration would cost up to $13 million. Pertamina AP President Director Nanang Abdul Manap expressed hope that drilling would produce positive results to increase oil and gas production in Langkat, which has been declining. Previously, Deputy Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Archandra Tahar said Indonesia needed to intensify exploration because the country's proven oil reserves would last only about 12 years. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The spokesperson for the National Campaign Agency, BPN, of Prabowo Subianto Sandiaga Uno, Irfan Yusuf Hashim, said the presidential and vice presidential candidate, pair number 02, had committed not to use identity politics in the 2019 presidential election. According to Irfan, Prabowo Sandi will always campaign to voice a productive vision and mission. According to Irfan, his camp tried to avoid identity politics. In the future, he added, Prabowo and Sandiaga would be more focused on delivering economic programs that would be carried out if they won the 2019 presidential election. The economic programs are the answer to the problems experienced by people at the grassroots level, such as farmers, laborers, and housewives. Many farmers complain about the government, which is still importing. Indonesia is the country with the largest coastline in the world, but still imports salt. The government has been fending off criticism, questioning its recent deal with the United States mining giant Freeport-McMoRan FCX to acquire majority shares in its subsidiary PT Freeport Indonesia FTFI Grasberg Copper and Gold Mine in Papua for $3.85 billion. Since the deal was sent on December 21. Critics have questioned the acquisition of the world's second largest copper and gold mine, asking why the government did not wait until PTFI's current contract ended in 2021, by which time it could simply take over the mine without paying a single rupiah. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati, one of the key figures involved in finalizing the deal, has personally come forward in defense of the deal through her official Facebook account. She explained that PTFI's previous contract of work stipulated that the government would extend the company's contract after it ended in 2021. PT Marga Mandala Sakti said that the traffic flow through the Tangerang-Merak toll road was normal after the Sunda Strait tsunami hit the coast of Banten and Lampung. This was said by PT Marga Mandala Sakti's head of Legal and Public Relations Division, Indah Permanasari, in a recent statement in Jakarta on Wednesday. Based on data noted by PT Marga Mandala Sakti, the number of vehicles passing on Christmas was 116,318. It dropped 18.87% from the normal daily average of 143,372 vehicles. Similarly, when compared to the 2017 Christmas period, which was 122,287 vehicles, or dropped by 5%. However, in the year-end holiday period, the Tangerang-Merak toll road noted the highest achievement with the number of vehicles on December 27, which was 154,220, or increased 7.57% compared to the daily average. Well, listener, that was the news.
Voice of Indonesia. Welcome to our commentary. Entering the new year 2019, the United States federal government once again stopped the operation of some federal government agencies known as shutdown. The United States politics, a government shutdown occurs when Congress fails to pass or the president refuses to sign appropriations legislation funding federal government operations and agencies. This kind of problem had actually occurred in the first year of President Donald Trump's administration. The reason for the current shutdown is the negotiation issue over the 2019 budget due to disputes between the government and Congress. President Donald Trump and Congress on December 22, 2018, faced a deadlock in terms of budget approval to build the country's border wall with Mexico. Back in the beginning of 2018, part of the United States federal government agencies also experienced a week-long shutdown. Unlike this year, the cause of the shutdown was the failure to reach an agreement on the immigration policy of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals and the deportation of people who were part of the program. Although not exactly the same, the main cause of both shutdowns was the problem of migration and immigration. This year, the difference in view between the government and Congress is the demand of President Donald Trump for Congress to approve a budget of $5 billion to build a border wall with Mexico. Though, toward the close of the year, Donald Trump declared canceling his demands, the deadlock still happened. The congressional element questioned the budget proposal because while campaigning, Donald Trump had stated that the financing of the construction of the barrier wall would be funded by Mexico. It became a problem when Trump would eventually finance the construction of the border wall by using taxpayers' funds. The case of a shutdown at the beginning of the year did not only occur in the era of Donald Trump. It had already occurred during the previous administrations. For other countries, the shutdown of a number of United States federal government agencies has no significant impact. One possibility is only the delay in U.S. assistance to certain countries whose commitments were made early in the year and could be constrained due to the non-operation of the institutions that deal with it. In addition, domestic problems that have caused a shutdown may only provide an overview of the turmoil of U.S. domestic politics, which has an impact on budget approval. Listener, that was commentary. This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. Let's start with January 2, 1942, Manila is controlled by Japan. In the Second World War, Japan launched an offensive attack into the Philippines, the U.S. colony, on December 8, 1941, just 10 hours after their attack on Pearl Harbor. The initial aerial bombardment was followed by a landing of ground troops in the north and south of Manila. The troops of the Philippines and the United States, under the command of General Douglas MacArthur, tried to hold the ground. However, as their troops lost to the Japanese, the U.S. and Philippine Defense Forces retreated to the Bataan Peninsula and to the island of Corregidor in Manila Bay. Manila fell into the hands of Japanese troops on January 2, 1942. On May 6, 1942, all the Philippines fell into the hands of Japanese troops. Moved to January 2, 1959, USSR launches Luna 1 unmanned airplane to the moon. After successfully launching its first spacecraft, Sputnik, the Soviet Space Agency on January 2, 1959, launched the Luna 1 unmanned aircraft aimed at researching the moon. The aircraft carried radio transmitters, telemetry systems, and a number of detection systems. According to the plan, after the aircraft completed a series of detection of space during flight, the plane was then directed to hit the surface of the moon. But there was failure of the control system, so that the plane failed to reach the moon and finally into the orbiting position of the sun, thus making it as the first man-made object that orbited the sun at the position between Earth and Mars. The last event in Today in History is from January 2, 1962, Mandela Command for the Liberation of West Iran was formed. Mandela Command is a command formed by President Sukarno as Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces of the Republic of Indonesia on January 2, 1962. The Mandela Command was based in Makassar, South Sulawesi, with Major General Suharto as Commander-in-Chief. Mandela's command duties were to plan, prepare, and conduct military operations to return West Papua to Indonesia, which was still controlled by the Dutch. On January 12, 1962, Mandela command mission was started thanks to the Mandela Command, Ellsworth Bunker, United States, representative for the United Nations, proposed the Dutch-Indonesian problem to be brought to the negotiating table. On August 15, 1962, negotiations between Indonesia and the Netherlands were held at the United Nations headquarters in New York. Problems were solved with West Iran back to Indonesian hands. That was Today in History.
Rasa rindu semua hanya padaku. Kau juga ungkapkan rasa sayang untuk yakinkan hati ini. Mengapa kini tiada sehangat, seindah dulu.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Welcome back to My Indonesia. A number of business actors from four country-backgrounded business institutions declared the establishment of the Integrated Business Community Center, Sukobidu, in Jakarta on Sunday, December 30, 2018. The aim is to build a new people's-based national economy. The four business institutions are the Mitra Santri National Cooperative, KMSN, the National Santri Forum, FSN, the Indonesian Millennial Santri Cooperative, KISMI, and the Santri Millennial Center, SIMAK. On the occasion, the chairperson of Sekobidu, Marlon Kansil, and its secretary, Rahman Fajriansyah, read the declaration of the establishment of Integrated Business Community Center, Sekobidu. The declaration contains several commitments, namely being the center of entrepreneurship with 4-0 independence, having the principles of togetherness and tolerance based on social justice, and fully supporting the government's economic program based on Pancasila. Marlon Kansil explained, Sekobidu is a community of young entrepreneurs who are committed to build a new flow of the national economy. Sekobidu will continue to move and raise itself with the hope can bring a major impact on the people's economy further. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Sekobidu Board of Trustees, Ahmad Shauki Ma'ruf Amin, said that the establishment of Sekobidu would build a new network and become a mediator among business people. According to him, Sekobidu will try to apply Ma'ruf Amin's ideas about the new Indonesia's economy. Shauki also said, many businessmen had difficulty to develop their business, despite they have potential business opportunities. Therefore, the Integrated Business Community Center will conduct training and assistance in order the business will run as expected. SIMAK's coordinator, Nur Rahman, stated that he is proud of the establishment of Sekobidu. He said that SIMAK, a company which produces kopi abah, will continue to expand its business by building the kopi abah business community. He hopes with the establishment of Sekobidu, the kopi abah can be more optimally developed. That was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you Penyengat Island. Holiday becomes tradition of most of Indonesian people. To choose vacation destination certainly needs some consideration, especially if you have school children. Historical tour can become suitable place for you. One of the places that has high historical value is Penyengat Island. On this island, there are various kinds of historical heritage, such as Great Mosque of Sultan Riau, which was built by using egg white, tombs of the kings, tomb of national hero Raja Ali Haji, palace complex, and bastion on Kursi Hill. Since October 19, 1995, Penyengat Island and Palace Complex have been proposed to UNESCO to become one of World Heritage Sites. According to story, this tiny island at the estuary of Rio River has been well known since centuries because the island became stopover to take fresh water provided by the island. But according to folklore, this name came from a name of insect which has stings. Once upon a time, there was a sailor who broke prohibition when took water. So he was attacked by hundreds of venomous insects. Thus, those insects were called Penyengat, and this island was mentioned with the name Penyengat Island. Meanwhile, the Dutch people called the island with the name Mars Island. Penyengat Island is a historical island that has important position in the Malay Emporium, which previously consisted of territories of Johor, Pahang, Siak, and Lingga Sultanate, especially at the southern of Semenanjung Melayu. The important role was played for 120 years since the establishment of Rio Kingdom in 1722. Until the kingdom was taken over by the Dutch in 1911. There are historical places which should be visited on Penyengat Island. One of them is Great Mosque of Sultan Riau. The mosque was built by Sultan Mahmud in 1803. Thus, in the 7th Yang Dipertuan Muda Raja Abdurrahman government, the mosque was renovated in 1832. The main building of the mosque is 360 square meters and it is supported by four pillars. At the four corners of the building, there are towers where Bilal peals azan. At Sultan Riau Mosque, there are 13 domes which have shaped like onions. Total number of tower and dome at the mosque are 17, which symbolize total number of rakaat obligatory prayers as conducted 5 times in a day and night by Muslims. At the left and right front of the mosque, there is additional building which is called Rumah Soto, which means a meeting room in English. According to history, the mosque was built by using mixture of egg white, lime, sand and clay. Having a lot of history does not mean not to follow development era. Young generation of Penyengat Island built a place which is appropriate for selfie. Its location is on Meriam Hill, where you can enjoy beautiful scenery surrounding the island. Every Sunday in the Penyengat Island, the visitors can buy various kinds of handicraft in Pasar Warisan, where the local vendors sell their handicrafts. Before you make a plan to spend your holiday to other country, it is better for you to visit Indonesia. That was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Memikirkanmu di saat kau pergi, jauh dari diriku sayangku. Mendambakanmu sepeluk diriku, seakan tiada esok datang. Dan aku berharap kau kan baik-baik saja, dan serahkan segalanya kepada Sang Maha Kuasa. Dan aku berharap kau kan baik-baik saja, dan aku rindu. Selalu cintaku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is membayar taksi or paying taxi. Stay tuned. Next, it is a conversation about membayar taksi or, in English, paying taxi. Tony arrives in front of Joko's house. Tony pays taxi.
Pak, kita sudah sampai.
Oh, okay. Berapa ongkosnya?
40 ribu.
Okay. Ini uangnya. Ambil saja kembaliannya.
Oh, terima kasih, Pak.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Kita sudah sampai. Kita sudah sampai. In English, we are already arrived. Berapa ongkosnya? Berapa ongkosnya? In English, how much the fee? 40 ribu. 40 ribu. In English, 40,000. Ini uangnya, ambil saja kembaliannya. Ini uangnya, ambil saja kembaliannya. In English, here is the money, just take the change. Terima kasih, Pak. In English, thank you, sir. When you go by daring or online taxi, usually the cost appears in application. But you may asking to make sure, is there change in price or not, by saying, berapa ongkosnya or how much the fee. When you pay the fee, you may be want to give a tip to the driver or you give it because the driver has no small change. In this situation, you can say, ambil saja kembaliannya. Or, ambil saja uang kembaliannya. In English, just take the change. For example, Tony, ini uangnya. Ini uangnya. In English, here is the money. Maaf, tidak ada kembalian. Apakah ada uang pas? Sorry, I have no change. Do you have the right money? Ambil saja kembaliannya. Ambil saja kembaliannya. Just take the change. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Pak, kita sudah sampai.
Oh, okay. Berapa ongkosnya?
40 ribu.
Okay. Ini uangnya. Ambil saja kembaliannya.
Oh, terima kasih, Pak.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Berlindung yang ingat.
jalan ini dulu kita berdua. Basah rambut ini, basah tubuh ini, kau hapus dengan sapu tanganmu.
Indonesia.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, I will present you pop songs from Payung Teduh. The group released a single entitled Sebuah Lagu in November 2018. Many people think that Sebuah Lagu becomes an original soundtrack from Disney animation film entitled Wreck It Ralph 2. As a matter of the fact that the song Sebuah Lagu was only shown on part of credit title, especially in theaters of Indonesia and Malaysia. Therefore, the Payung Teduh has become the first Indonesian band that contributed a song for Disney film. How is the song? Let's check it out, sebuah lagu by Payung Teduh.
Bersama tak melakukan apapun, keluh kesahkan perjuangan dan masa sulit. Seduhan teh dan persahabatan melunturkan lelah. Jam dinding tak berjarum, sudah larut kaki enggan melangkah.
Listener, you have just listened to the song entitled Sebuah Lagu by Payung Teduh. The lyric narrates about very open friendship for all feelings and experiences. A close friend can become encouragement while an expectation almost loses. The theme of full friendship has made Payung Teduh is received to collaborate with entertainment company and international media, namely Walt Disney. Moreover, Marsha Ditya is chosen to be vocalist of Payung Teduh, especially for the song Sebuah Lagu. Actually, Marsha is a manager for Payung Teduh, but she has been a singer for several times for the group. Meanwhile, it has not found permanent vocalist since 2017. It was due to Istiqomah Jamaat, or IS, resigned from the group as the vocalist since 2017. Listener, coming up now a song entitled Untuk Perempuan Yang Sedang Dalam Pelukan.
rasa gelap pun jatuh. Di ujung malam menuju pagi yang dingin, hanya ada sedikit bintang malam ini. Mungkin karena kau sedang cantik-cantiknya.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.